McPhee was bewildered. He looked at his chief. Thompson's face was no longer its usual impassive mask. Instead, his jaw had dropped. His eyes widened in amazement.
Come, are you not going to speak to me after I've come so far to be with you?
McPhee turned to face the same direction as his chief and the vast majority of the Inuit, and was astounded to see Doc Tanner sitting upright, his eyes no longer staring unseeingly, his face no longer the bland rictus of an insane smile.
What do I have to say to stir some action from you? Am I to freeze before someone offers me a coat?
Thompson and McPhee exchanged glances. Even with the naturally stoic and impassive set of the Inuit features, it was obvious that both men were astounded and confused. The mad old man who had said so little during the past several days was now speaking in a completely different voice.
Well, am I to stand here freezing my balls off, or do I get some proper clothes? You were keen enough to drive a blade through me a few minutes ago, so why are you like a pack of statues right now?
Thompson was looking to McPhee for guidance. He was, after all, the medicine man. He should know how to deal with these things. But McPhee looked just as floored by events as his chief. As for the rest of the Inuit, they were silent. Not their usual silence, but a kind of awed hush. They were all aware that something strange and possibly momentous had occurred in front of them, and the thrill of it ran through them like a lightning bolt. Yet they had no real idea what had transpired or what it may mean. For that, they, too, were awaiting a cue from McPhee. The shaman was frozen. He'd followed the ritual, said the prayers, blended his herbs. Yet after so long, it was only in the herbs that he had any real faith. All the rest was just for show. They were just words. The Almighty had taken so long to shine upon them that the shaman half suspected that he was nothing more than a palliative to get them through the long, harsh winters. But now, it seemed to him as though a spirit had been sent down to them. One of their ancestors had entered the empty vessel of the mad old man. The Almighty had sent a messenger down to them. And all McPhee could do was stand with his mouth open catching stray flakes of snow and ice, not believing that after all these years, there may actually be an Almighty after all. He was nudged from his reverie by Thompson, who knocked him on the arm.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. I really don't know.
From the crowd surrounding the central area, several Inuit rushed forward, taking a layer of skins and fur from their backs and wrapping them around the semi-naked figure of Doc Tanner.
That's better. Not just me, you dolts. My friends need to be warmed as well. Do you want them to perish because of frostbite?
Without looking to their chief or the shaman, the Inuit followed Doc's directions. There was something about the accent and the hint of authority in his voice that made them respond immediately, without recourse to their leader. While Thompson and McPhee watched, astounded, the Inuit freed the rest of the companions from the tables, wrapped them in furs and skins, ripped from their own backs. The companions were still under the effects of the drugs, and responded passively to whatever was being done to them. They allowed themselves to be lifted up and clothed, without any kind of response, beyond blank, confused stares. For their part, the Inuit were also under the influence of the herbs in their ritual feast, and so were in a state of rapture at what in pre-dark days could only have been called a miracle.
Good. Good. Now, take them where they can rest and be warm. Put them together in one of those huts.
He gestured to where they had spent the previous 24 hours. Then he set his vision grimly on the still inert, still stunned figures of Thompson and McPhee.
I've got a few things that need to be said to your chief.
Responding to Doc as though he'd been their leader for many years, the Inuit bore the companions away to one of the huts, putting them together in the one building and firing the stove. Even in their state of rapture, the Inuit were still eerily quiet, only a few words being exchanged about the strange events.
It's a miracle! A sign from the Lord!
Befuddled as they were by the drugs that coursed through their systems, a rough idea of what had occurred seeped through the bewildered consciousness of each of the companions. Somehow, it seemed as though Doc's madness had saved them at the last, before they were about to be killed. Yet, how long would this reprieve last? And more importantly, what was going on in the old man's head? As the Inuit left them alone, Ryan tried to speak. His mouth felt dry and furred, and although his brain shaped words, his mouth refused to respond. Jack tried to get to his feet, but found he could not stay upright, the world spinning out of control, even as he tried to anchor himself. Mildred tried to speak, as she saw Jack slump down once more.
Leave. Wait. Wears off. Not strong enough, can't...
The few words that she managed to mushmouth were barely audible or comprehensible, but they made enough sense to the others for them to realize that they had no option but to wait until the effects of the drug had subsided before they could say, let alone do, anything constructive. In the meantime, they could only wonder what the hell Doc was doing. Watching the people he knew were his friends carried off, he felt a sense of achievement that he had secured their safety. He didn't know their names, but had a deep gut instinct that they had traveled with him for a long time, and that to save their skins was to repay many a kindness, many a debt. He turned to where the Inuit chief and the shaman were standing.
You two, I'm wanting a few words with you. There's a lot for us to talk over.
As Doc approached, he could see a flicker of fear in the eye of the chief, but in the shaman's face was something else. Something like awe. The man the companions knew as Doc was as astounded about this turn of events as anyone. He looked down at the weather-beaten body and made a mental note to check a mirror. He wondered if his face resembled anyone he had known, or if it would be strange to him, as strange as the knowledge that only an hour ago he had been someone else, someone he could no longer remember. Not even his name.
Are you who I think you are?
That depends on who you think I might be. So why don't you start by telling me that?
A messenger. A messenger from the Lord.
A frown creased the brow of the old man standing in front of the shaman.
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe I am, at that. It hadn't occurred to me. Just that I was back where I belong. And that I had a new body.
What?
Have you never heard of the concept of transmigration of the soul? Surely your Almighty, my Lord, tells you of that.
The old man looked around and took in a deep breath, then wrinkled his nose at the smell of sulfur.
Aye, things have changed, but I was here before. A long time ago, by the looks of it, but I was here. I recognize the way you look, although you never spoke like that when I knew you. Now you speak like me, which is a strange idea. And this has changed, aye, changed a lot.
Of course, of course. I understand.
No, you do not. I was here a long, long time ago. It was 1865, and we were a party of 12, making our way from the south toward Anchorage, where we sought to sell the pelts we had spent time trapping. It was freezing, and there were storms, big, strong ones that ripped through our party, scattering us across the wastes. Somehow, we always managed to find our way back to one another, to stick together somehow. Aye, it takes a lot to keep us down when we've got the bit between our teeth. And we found ourselves shelter, eventually, with people like you. Although you didn't have these kinds of houses, and there were no trees like this, and the air didn't stink like it does now. But it was around here. I could feel it. We were tired and weary, hungry too. All our food was either eaten or lost, and we couldn't hunt because the weather made it hard enough just to stay alive. Well, we stumbled into your people and thought that we would be slaughtered, that you wouldn't want us intruding on your land. We were used to people out here in this godforsaken land being hostile to strangers. We left the homelands to get away from those who were hostile to us because of our beliefs. And we made homes here, but it was still the same. People are people are people, I'm supposing. The good Lord made us all the same in his eyes, but then maybe we don't see through those eyes like we should. Anyhow, I'm getting away from what I should be saying to you. We found your people, and you weren't unkind to us. Rather than try to wipe us out, you took us in and tried to nurse us back to health. For make no mistake, we were in a bad way by then. The weather had taken its toll, and many of us had fevers. When a fever takes you, you see things that are not there, and imagine that people talk to you who are not really there. It's a strange thing, not knowing any more what is real and what is not. I had the fever worse than many, and I knew after a while that I would not pull through. It is the strangest feeling, knowing that your time is up and that it will not be long before you meet your maker. I could feel myself slipping away, the light getting brighter, like I was racing toward the end of a long tunnel. I'd heard many say that before, and never believed them. But they were right. The only thing I really wanted was to see my children and my wife once more, back where I had left them. But I knew that the chance was gone, and that I would see them no more in this world. I prayed to the Almighty to keep my soul safe, and if he could give me just one more chance. If I had the chance to redeem myself in his eyes, then I begged him to spare my life. At the last, when I felt sure that my life was about to end, I moved toward the light with a rapidity that startled me. I felt as though my very being was being ripped into a thousand shreds and put back together again. I opened my eyes, and I was here. Do you not see what this means? I have been spared by the Lord to do his work. My soul has been taken from where I was before and brought to here, wherever this may be. I'm guessing it's later than when I was last alive. But other than that, the only thing I know for sure is that ye need help, and that the Lord has sent me here to help ye. It's my chance to redeem myself, and the poor soul who was last in this body, and didn't take great care of it by the looks of things, has gone to a better place.
His oration finished, the man who was Doc Tanner stood silent, waiting for Thompson and McPhee to respond. The two Inuit looked at each other, and then at the stranger in front of them.
I don't know if I should believe you. It could be some kind of trick.
I can understand your caution. If I was you, I wouldn't believe me. Come to that, I don't know if I believe me, or what I'm seeing.
Ah, this is no trick. It can't be. There's no way. Lord, help me. I'd almost given up faith in the Almighty without realizing. It's been so long since there was any kind of a sign.
The shaman fell to his knees.
I just hope the good Lord can forgive me for my doubts. But I now know they were wrong. You are proof of that.
The stranger stretched out his hand.
I know how you feel. Did I not feel the same way myself before this happened? But it's never too late.
His hand touched McPhee's head, and the medicine man raised his face so that his eyes met with those that had once belonged to Doc Tanner. Previously, they had only ever seemed empty and blank. Now, they seemed imbued with strength and life. Thompson was aware of the rest of the tribe. Some had stayed around the edges, while the others had taken the companions to their rest. These few had heard everything, and in whispers were revealing details to those who had now returned. The chief was aware that his people were watching him, expectant and waiting. But what could he tell them? He had barely managed to assimilate what was going on for himself. He stepped away from the stranger and McPhee to address his tribe.
People, there are strange things afoot. This man who was to be one of the sacrifices is no longer the same man he was an hour ago. The Lord has emptied him and filled the empty vessel with one who has been here before. One of our ancestors who has come to guide us in our hour of need. Myself and McPhee must speak with him alone, but we will soon be able to tell you the Almighty's plan for us. While he reveals his purpose to us, you must go about your daily tasks. Have patience, people. All will soon be made clear.
He dismissed the Inuit with a gesture. Although confused by what had occurred in the past hour, the tribe trusted its chief implicitly, and he had never before been found wanting. There was no reason to believe that what he now said was untrue. Without a murmur, the tribe began to put out the bonfires and take down the sacrificial tables.
As for you, stranger, you've got some explaining to do.
Inside their hut, the companions were slowly beginning to return to a normal state. The drugs had scrambled their senses in such a way that they couldn't be sure of what had just happened. Gradually, they pieced together enough recollections between them to make a picture. It wasn't, however, one that made a lot of sense.
The old buzzard's finally flipped, and this time it might be for good. If he's adopted a whole new personality, then that's the mind completely retreating in on itself and making up the new personality to protect the real one. Maybe he's gone for good. And this persona will be all we ever see of him from now on.
Can't be sad. Stopped us getting chill.
There is that to it, but no, it's too ridiculous.
But what if something really has happened, and Doc has been taken over by someone else?
That's impossible.
Is it? I wouldn't be too surprised at anything. Think of all the weird shit we've seen.
But ghosts? That's just stoop.
Is it? Religious ceremonies and leaves and herbs that give you hallucinations, alter your mind. They do some strange things that you can't explain. But is that any weirder than what I'm saying might, and only might, mind you, have happened?
You put it like that, and even I might agree with you. I don't know. I'm only guessing like you are. The only thing we know for sure is that Doc Shore's shit isn't himself right now. And that as long as he's got Thompson's ear, we've got a better than even chance of making it through this in one piece.
Better chance than we had when the sun came up. Right now there's not a damn thing we can do either way. Just gotta wait and see what happens.
Must be more.
Like what? Yeah, those fire-blasted drugs are wearing off. We got no clothes and no weapons. We don't know where they're keeping them. In a lot of ways, we're not better or worse off than we were this time yesterday. Except for the fact that Doc seems to be someone else.
That makes me feel a whole lot better. All we can do is sit this one out, then.
Yeah, looks that way. Thompson and McPhee took their guest into the chief's hut after he had dispatched one of his men to get Doc's clothes.
Sit down, get your clothes, then we can talk a bit more. Oui. Listen, I have no idea quite where or when I am, so I think it might be for the best if you fill me in a little on what's going on around here and why you were ready to drive a dagger into my heart and those of the people who were, I guess, my friends.
The two Inuit exchanged puzzled glances.